for the introduction, Nick, and for inviting me to present my paper today. The title of my presentation is Women and Children First, Gender, Flood and Victimhood in Dutch 18th Century Maps of Dike Breaks. The Low Countries have a long history of the battle against the water, facing numerous inundations caused by dike breaks. And it turns out that this is also represented in Dutch map culture. In the early modern period, these disastrous events were often reported by story maps, maps or prints combining cartographical or spatial data with narrative data, such as this print by Pieter van den Bergen. It is called Depiction of the Uncommonly High Flood in Holland and Polders and Villages of the Same, and the Great Destruction that occurred there between the 5th and 6th of April, 72. It features the Holland's Maid in the foreground, pointing at a map of the flooded area. In maps like these, women, usually absent in maps, suddenly seem to play a prominent role. They are sometimes even literally put in the foreground. And what function do these depictions of women have? How do they relate to the maps? In this paper, I will show some examples from the Rijksmuseum collection in Amsterdam in order to show my observations and share my ideas on this topic. Let's begin with some realistic and anecdotal depictions of women. The print on the right is a map showing several river dike breaks in the east of the Netherlands between 1740 and 1741. The relative spatial arrangement of the geodata, the rivers and towns, for example, and use of cartographic symbols such as compass roses is combined with the dramatic depiction of drowning people, animals, and houses. The legend textually explains these narrative aspects. The printmaker, Jan Lamiraal, used the technique of choreography. While geodata, such as rivers, roads, and villages, are drawn horizontally, as viewed from above, the narrative data, such as the persons, animals, trees, and houses, are drawn vertically, as viewed from the side. This map was an illustration for a book that we see on the left, a historical account of difficult times, famines and floods in the years 1709 and 1740. It contains vivid and detailed descriptions of these disastrous events, telling stories of actual victims that had suffered. And these anecdotes especially focus on the tragic fates of the innocents, frequently naming women and children. The anecdotal and realistic nature of the book is reflected by the map. It shows in the foreground a family moaning on the roofs of a sunken house, and we see horses and cows swimming, and a baby in a cradle drifting. This map was not only designed to show the geographical spread of the flood, but to show the effects of the flood on the people. And the normal victims are portrayed from the side, making them even more tangible and evoking the empathy of the viewer. Femininity seems to play a significant role in flood and inundation symbolism. This is illustrated by an emblem engraved by Jan Luyke, taken from an emblem book by Christoph Weigel. In the picture, we see several women pulled out from the water, including a baby in a cradle. The role of femininity in this emblem is confirmed by the German poem below, referring to Venus. The translation of the title, for example, is "The flood, thus by the rage of the flood, the glow of Venus is extinguished." And the baby in the cradle was also a very interesting theme that was originating from a legend from the Elizabeth flood in 1421 in the Netherlands. The myth is that during this catastrophe, causing the lives of thousands of people, a baby in a cradle was drifting alone on the water, and the cradle almost capsized with the baby in it, but was saved by a black cat that kept the balance steady. When the baby was saved to the land, back to the humans, the cat disappeared. And it seems that this icon of the baby in the cradle lived on until the 18th century, at least. In the next slide, in this slide, I will show how this theme of women and small children pulled from the water was part of a strong pictorial tradition of floods, in which they seem to function as icons. So here on the left, on the woodcuts by Johannes Donker of the flood in 1809, we can recognize the image in the upper picture, but also below where a woman takes her baby. And on the right, we see the print by Reinier Vinkelis after a drawing of Jacobus Buys on the flood of 1775. It is a very dramatic scene with also, again, women and children in the foreground. And in this print as well, by Simon Fokke, on the dark breaks of the Rhine and IJssel rivers in 1754, a large map is unrolled by two putti, and behind the map, we see the same theme. Elsewhere in the background, also, people are saved from their houses. So it is therefore not surprising that the same theme is repeated in the story maps of dark breaks and floods, which is the case for this print by Jan Smit. It was part of the same series of maps of the dike breaks in the east of the Netherlands in 1740 and 1741 that we have seen before. The title says, "True picture of the overflowing of the rivers, the dike breaks, drawn from life." So, are these images on story maps meant to be either realistic or symbolic? It seems that the real and symbolic are not easily distinguished, and that real life and allegory flow together. Regarding the map titles, the maps suggest veracity and accuracy being drawn from life, and they seem to be made with the intention to show how the flood actually had happened. And the depictions of real people seem to contribute to this truthfulness, on the one hand, but on the other hand, these men, women, and children that are depicted are not literally drawn from life. They're invented by the engraver and can be read as emblems or allegories. And the map. How do these images relate to the cartographical nature of the prints? Well, in some cases, the map is separated from the scenes, such as the print of Van den Bergen on the left. But we've also seen women being part of the map, almost drowning into the water, such as on the print of Jan Smit at the right. You could say that these depictions of real people, including real women, make the map more realistic. But I think it is rather the other way around. The map, seemingly based on real facts and real measurements, make these people, that are actually icons of the flood, more real. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Anna-Rika. Absolutely terrific, and some gripping depictions there of responses to inundation in the Netherlands. If I may, I'd like to begin by asking you, the maps you've shown, can you comment on how they were designed and produced?
Yes, so of course. Well, first, the printmakers of the story maps I've mentioned, so for example, Jan Smit, and Jan L'Admiraal were not map makers. Instead, they were artistic engravers, both working in Amsterdam. And Jan Smit was in 1741, even 78 years old. So I don't think it was likely that they actually traveled to the site in order to make sketches and do surveying. So they probably based their designs on existing maps, or perhaps city views of the regions, which were very accurate, and probably also textual information from newspapers or other sources, which were also very accurate, also geographically very accurate. But I would like to add that there is proof that there that land surveyors did travel to the flooded areas on boats, for example, that also brought food and clothes and other stuff for the victims. And those surveyors also sounded the depth of the water, for instance. So it was not only surveying the land, but also the height of the flood. And one of the books I mentioned, the historical account, confirms this. But of course, it would have taken a while before a complete map was made after those surveyings. So in the case of the newsprints and news maps, the engravers and publishers would not have waited until they were finished. So they're probably based on existing maps and pictures.
Thank you very much. So to what extent do you think that the maps possibly were purely symbolic?
Well, in many cases, the women were indeed personifications, similar to the cartouches, for example, a chat van Duzer spoke about. For example, the Holland's Maiden, which was a personification of Holland, the province. She is holding a map of the flooded area, and she's raising her head to heaven, praying to God for mercy. And this is also described in the explanatory poem below the print that I showed in one of the slides. Well, in this particular setting, this was indeed an allegory. And you could say that the map is an attribute. But it is striking that the maps are, while being attributes, were quite accurate and also were showing the flooded areas. So the engravers, they made efforts to also make these maps, while being attributes, also a little bit accurate and realistic. And this also counts, for example, this also counts for the print with the two putti holding the unrolled map. I also showed. Sorry. So I think that those maps were not implemented in order to read or to orientate on. They were implemented in order to compose an allegory and to deliver a broader message. So yes.
Thank you. We've had a question. Were any of these maps or any similar type maps created by women?
Well, that's a good that's a nice question. I haven't found any, but I'm just starting with this subject, so hopefully I will find some examples, and I'll get back to it.
I think just one final question for you, and it's similar in a way to questions that were asked to Camille and to Chet. Mm-hmm. Do we have any information, or what information is there on how these maps, these engravings, were viewed and consumed?
I think most of the consumers of the maps were people that were not actually in the flooded, that not actually lived in the flooded areas, but they were spectators. I think in most cases also living in the western not nearby the flooded area, so from a long distance. So I think those images were meant to shock them. And also, I think there was also a function of empathy, evoking empathy. And I also have an example of a pamphlet on one of the floods that actually calls up to donate money to actually help them. So it's, I think charity is also related to this, to these kind of maps. And that's very interesting, because that was new for that time.